So have you dumped a bucket full of ice water on your head in the effort to raise money for research and support for those who suffer from ALS, a neurodegenerative disease, also known as Lou Gehrig's disease? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's coming up on 8 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Monday, August 25th. Well, the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge has raised tens of millions of dollars for ALS, more than $41.8 million so far, and it appears to still be going strong. We're going to talk about this trend and wonder if you have any concerns at all about the Ice Bucket Challenge. Some people do. Some people criticize it as slacktivism, which is promoting a cause by devoting very little time, work, or actual involvement in it. What do you think? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our guest is Julie Dixon, the Deputy Director of the Center for Social Impact Communication at Georgetown University. Its goal is to educate graduate-level students to strengthen the social sector, promote corporate social responsibility, and build innovative cross-sector partnerships. And Julie Dixon joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for being with us. So have you dumped a bucket of ice water on your head?
I have, actually, yes. The challenge came around to me finally. I was watching it get sort of closer and closer to me via my circles of friends, and then finally last weekend, my sister challenged me on Facebook. So, yes, I have done it.
Yeah, and what do you think of this? This is really something. I mean, this has been going on since the very end of July, apparently. And, boy, my news feed is still filled with videos of people taking the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Mine is too, and I would say for every, maybe 4, 5, 6 videos of people taking the Ice Bucket Challenge, I see maybe 1 or 2 people criticizing the challenge or posting articles of some of the criticisms that people have been writing online. So it's very, very interesting. It's a very polarizing challenge, I think.
Yeah, it's interesting. Sometimes I just saw a meme this morning of, do you know that you can donate money to a charity without dumping a bucket of ice water on your head?
Yep.
And, we know that. But what's the concern here? I mean, why should anybody care if ALS is getting, nearly $42 million so far in funds?
Yeah, and actually just this morning I was looking at their website, and as of yesterday it's up to $70.5 million, which is just, which is absolutely staggering. And I think it's come from more than 1 million new donors, which, any organization, I think, would look at that as such a tremendous windfall. And I think I've seen a number of criticisms. They range from kind of the slacktivist misperception, I would say, and the idea that, people aren't actually donating. They're just doing the social media bits and not actually kind of putting their money where their mouth is. But I think that the fact that they're up to $70 million in less than a month would challenge that and say, no, people actually are donating in addition to doing the social media activity as well.
Yeah.
I've seen people, criticizing the narcissism that, people are only doing this to be able to, post a silly video of themselves on the news feed. But, I think one of the interesting rebuttals to that I've seen is that charitable giving is, as much as we would like to believe that it's driven by altruism and that the giver is not getting anything in return, in reality, people have lots of different reasons for giving. Everything from wanting to appear charitable or wanting to appear worldly or knowledgeable about issues, or wanting to influence other people to give, which is kind of one of the interesting things that's at play at this particular campaign. But at the end of the day, as much as we would like to believe that people give for purely, reasons that they don't benefit at all, everybody benefits, has their own reasons for wanting to give to a charity. And this particular one just takes advantage of one of those reasons.
Yeah. So which participant, I understand you think there's one participant who has done maybe a really good job with the ice bucket challenge.
I mean, I think there's lots of ones that have done a good job. One that I found particularly surprising last week, you know, especially when you think about how long the challenge has been up and running. You know, it's what, pushing 3-4 weeks now. I tend to think, you know, of a game of telephone where at the very beginning, the message is very clear. Everyone knows exactly what they're supposed to be doing. You know, you tag, you challenge three friends, you donate $10 and dump the bucket, or you donate $100, and that it's very specifically for ALS. And, you know, the ALS Association obviously has been the primary beneficiary. But, you know, if you think about a game of telephone, 3 weeks, 4 weeks in, you would kind of expect that message to be diluted and people to say, well, how many people am I supposed to challenge and who is this for and what am I supposed to do? But the degree to which this message has really remained intact over the course of a month now has been really astounding. And one that I saw last week that I was actually particularly impressed with and pleasantly surprised by was George W. Bush's. He did one towards the end of last week and was very, very clear in articulating, this is the organization that is benefiting, this is why you should give. And he even spelled out the website in his video, ALSA.org, so that everybody who saw it would have a clear call to action and know exactly where they're supposed to go and what they're supposed to do. So I was actually pretty impressed by that one.
Yeah, that and he added, there's a lot of humor in some of these, too. And in fact, I have an excerpt from President Bush's Ice Bucket Challenge.
Now it's my privilege to challenge my friend Bill Clinton to the ALS challenge. Yesterday was Bill's birthday, and my gift to Bill is a bucket of cold water. For those of you interested in more information, please look up ALSA.org.
His gift to Bill is a bucket of cold water. But he gave the website at the end. And sometimes I've seen that kind of I mean, I disagree with the criticism, but we even have some Facebook comments. What's ALS? As though no one knows what ALS is, even though we have thousands of videos of people taking this challenge.
Yep, absolutely. And I think what I've seen is that in particular for the ALS Association, this has been a tremendous awareness builder for them. I mean, let alone the $70 million, but just in terms of people recognizing what ALS is and even for them thinking through, you know, the sort of older moniker of the disease was Lou Gehrig's disease. And they've been, I think, struggling in recent years to kind of rebrand, you know, ALS and get people more towards calling it ALS versus calling it Lou Gehrig's disease, because, you know, a lot of people in the younger generations don't even know who Lou Gehrig was. And so for them, this has been a tremendous awareness builder for what ALS is and what they do and sort of getting away from using some of the older terms around the disease.
We're talking with Julie Dixon, the Deputy Director of the Center for Social Impact Communication at Georgetown University. And we are taking a look at the impact of the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. Have you taken this challenge, or did you also donate to ALS? Do you think it's a worthwhile trend, or do you have any concerns at all about the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Well, more than $70 million has been raised for the ALS Association through the social media phenomenon known as the Ice Bucket Challenge. While some people are praising the efforts, others call it slacktivism, which is promoting a cause by devoting very little time, work, or actual involvement in it. We are talking with a guest who defends the Ice Bucket Challenge. and says slacktivists are more sincere than people tend to think. We are talking about the impact of the ice bucket challenge. Have you done it? Do you know someone who has? Do you think that this social media trend is legitimate activism? Is this a good idea, this type of challenge? Do you find the practice entertaining, or are you getting tired of it now? Let us know what you think, what questions or concerns you have, any experiences you might have had with this. You know, I ended up helping two friends this weekend with the ice bucket challenge. One of them, by the way, is in the advanced stages of MS, multiple sclerosis, and is in a nursing home and in a wheelchair. And she took the ice bucket challenge this weekend. What about you? What do you think of this? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. We are talking about the effect of the Ice Bucket Challenge with Julie Dixon, who is Deputy Director of the Center for Social Impact Communication at Georgetown University. And I want you to talk a little bit more. I know that the Center for Social Impact Communication did research on slacktivists back in 2011. And apparently slacktivists are much more involved in causes than people think, Julie?
They are. And as you said, you know, this was a study that we did several years ago. And I would imagine that as the number of channels and the ways that you can, you know, get involved and express your involvement with an organization has grown, I would imagine that, you know, the trends that we were seeing have only continued to increase. But, you know, we did a survey of the general American population and asked them some questions about how social media has changed the way they support organizations. So you have sort of the more traditional ways of getting involved that we all think of, donating, volunteering, attending events, you're holding fundraisers, things like that. There are all these new ways. You know, back in 2011, there was liking a cause on Facebook. There was blogging about a cause or sending a tweet or some of these things that start to get to the issue of influence as opposed to, you know, some of the other resources and things that you can contribute to a cause or an organization. And so we were able to separate it out and say of the people who are really active with blogging or tweeting or having conversations on Facebook about a cause or an issue, how did that population compare to just, you know, regular folks who participate in some of the more traditional ways? And, you know, trying to address the criticism that, you know, people say that these people aren't as involved, that they are basically replacing the more traditional forms of engagement that we all think of, donating, volunteering, that they're actually replacing those with social media. And what we found is that they're actually not replacing them, they're actually supplementing them. So you have people who are continuing to volunteer and to donate, but they're also talking about them on social media, which brings in that influence piece. Because if you think about it, you know, and where we see the Ice Bucket Challenge being kind of living proof of this, is that you could donate and not tell anybody, and that's great. You know, the organization gets your donation. But as with the Ice Bucket Challenge, if you donate and you post on social media about it and you ask three other people to donate, then the organization could perhaps get, you know, the resources or the time or the money of individuals in your network as well, and you can start to see how that could build up over time. So we did really see in our research that people are, you know, more active, I think, than the common misperception of slacktivists. They, you know, the data that we saw, they were twice as likely to volunteer as people who aren't active on social media. They were equally likely to have given a donation.
Let's take a call from Philip in Madison. Hello, Philip.
Morning. Having been a friend go through ALS, I think anything that helps fight for ALS is a great cause. However, this seems to have turned into just a social media fad. My 13-year-old daughter wanted to do it, and I asked her if she knew why, you know, what the cause was, and she had no idea. I just think it's turned into a social media thing and has nothing to do with ALS.
A reaction to that, Julie?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's interesting. I mean, there's a couple things. One is as you said, how it's actually spreading to much, much more younger donors. I saw a term thrown around a couple weeks ago called Philanthro Kids. And so this is a social media campaign that's reaching younger populations, I think, than would traditionally be giving money or wanting to give money to an organization. But definitely one of the criticisms of the campaign is that there's a disconnect that, as you said, you know, people want to participate in this ongoing social media phenomenon that they see all over their news feeds without actually understanding, you know, who it's for and you know, even what the organization stands for that they're giving to. And I think there's a couple schools of thought. I mean, some people will say, well, at the end of the day, you know, the issue, ALS, the organization is benefiting whether the people know, you know, who they're giving to or not. And I think sometimes the burden of that falls on the organization. You know, ALS Association is the recipient of, you know, $70 million and counting, and it's really up to them to nurture the relationships with all of these, you know, million plus new donors and to take the next steps to say, here's what it is that you are funding and here's what we're doing with this influx of money and here's how we're going to make a difference with that. So I think a little bit of the burden on education and awareness falls on the organization because so many people are coming to it not exactly knowing what it is that they're giving to. Another interesting thing, I think, is that this campaign wasn't actually started by any one organization. It was actually started by individual people. And I think that has buffered the organization a little bit from criticism. You know, if you think about some of the other popular social media campaigns that have been accused of being slacktivism, you know, this one is interesting because it started really just at a grassroots individual level. And, you know, it wasn't a bunch of people sitting around a boardroom saying, this is what we're going to have people do. We're going to put this call out. We're going to have them, you know, dump ice buckets of water on their head and donate money. There's actually, you know, just a couple of people who have this idea, and it really spread from there. So I think that has helped to lessen some of the criticism that it's just a, you know, a fad, an awareness building thing that doesn't actually have any sort of meat behind it.
Yeah. So, what do you think is the most impressive about this this phenomenon? The money raised, the number of people taking part, the celebrities, or I mean, this is really something. Has there been anything like this before?
Not that I've seen in terms of actually having the dollars behind it. I mean, we've certainly seen other campaigns that have taken off and sort of caught fire on social media. A couple of years ago, there was the Kony 2012 video that, you know, a lot of people were talking about and they were sharing, but there was no real call to action with that to donate. So there wasn't really a strong metric that you could point to and say, look, you know, we're actually doing something here beyond just generating a conversation on social media. And there have been some since then. Previously this year, there was the Yes All Women hashtag that took off on mm-hmm. Facebook and Twitter. And there have been some other examples where it was primarily just around generating conversation and kind of having a platform to share your opinions on an issue, but there wasn't that dual call to action to say, okay, actually, you know, donate money as well. So it was harder to measure. It's a huge challenge for organizations and for anybody who's kind of looking at the impact of a movement like this, because if it doesn't ultimately at the end of the day translate back to dollars, it can be really hard to say, well, what was the true impact here? So what I think is one of the most interesting things about this, you know, phenomenon has been the degree to which we can actually concretely say this is the value of this campaign. You know, it raised awareness, and yes, you know, a lot of people are now aware of the, you know, ALS as a disease and the organizations and what they're doing to address it, and the importance of, you know, funding research. That's another thread that I've seen coming out of this is kind of raising a conversation around how much, even how much federal money is allocated towards researching diseases like this and what a huge difference this amount of money is going to make. But to actually be able to link that back to concrete dollars, it's not just conversation or awareness, things that we know social media is good at doing, But before this campaign, there was a lot of questions around whether it all actually added up to any sort of real dollar amount. And so that's what's been so encouraging, I think. Encouraging, but at the same time, I think any organization that would attempt to do something like this, it has a really unique challenge in front of them, because I don't think that a campaign like this can be replicated, at least not when it's being planned for by an organization.
Let's go to Peg in Sturgeon Bay. We almost are at news time, Peg. What did you want to say about this?
Good morning. I just wanted to say that I think this is great. It's a fad, kind of like the pet rock syndrome of a few years ago. And it's caught everyone's attention, and it's doing no harm. It's a lot of fun. And the end result is it's happening to raise money for a worthy organization.
Thank you very much, Peg. You know, we have just 30 seconds before news, Peg. You know what? I'm going to have you think about this, Julie, as we listen to news. How long is this trend, is this fad going to last? And what does it, maybe what does it mean for the next one? How are we going to top the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org, or post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. More than $70 million has been raised for the ALS Association through the social media phenomenon known as the Ice Bucket Challenge. What are your thoughts, your questions, your experiences, your concerns perhaps with the Ice Bucket Challenge? 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking with Julie Dixon, who is the Deputy Director of the Center for Social Impact Communication at Georgetown University. She says that this ALS challenge certainly has had its impact. And we heard from a caller, Peg in Sturgeon Bay, just before our news break. And I wonder what you think, Julie. She said, you know, she thought that this was great. She called it a fad. She likened it to the pet rock, but said, you know, this has caught the public's fancy. And who can argue with success? Look at those fundraising numbers. Your thoughts on that? Okay, I'm sorry, I had the wrong button push, so go ahead.
Sure. I would agree. I think, you know, I think everything she said is true. You know, certainly there is a little bit of a fad element that I think as it spreads throughout social media, you know, as you see your news feed fill up with other people, you know, posting their videos and posting their challenges for their friends, it, you know, you feel like you want to be a part of that community. And I think that's one of the ways that this campaign has been so successful. It's created a community that people want to be a part of. And that's, it's one reason that people want to give to charity. Typically we see one of the motivations is that they want to be a part of a broader community. So I would absolutely agree that, yeah, you know, there's a little bit of a fad to it, but at the end of the day, it's a fad that is translating to, you know, millions and billions of dollars that wouldn't have been raised otherwise, or at least not this quickly.
Yeah. A little bit of peer pressure, though, maybe even a little bit of shaming. You better do this, too, or everybody's going to say, hey, where's your video?
A little bit, but I would think, you know, and I've seen some criticisms that it's almost issuing an ultimatum. But I think the challenge part of it, that, you know, you have 24 hours, is, I think, creates urgency in a good sense of the word. That's actually another typical reason that, you know, or something that organizations will kind of build into their pleas for charitable donations, is this sense of urgency that it has to be done now, that there's some reason why it has to be done quickly. And I think that the 24-hour, the, you know, do this or donate the larger amount. I think that's sort of a good-natured ultimatum to issue to friends. I certainly haven't seen anybody, in my network having any sort of arguments or even going back and calling somebody out. And in fact, my husband, of all people, who is, married to somebody who studied this for a living, was challenged last weekend, and he has not done it. I think nobody has come after him and said, hey, I challenged you and you didn't come through. So I think people have the choice as to whether or not they're going to participate. And there's sort of this good-natured sense of fun around the campaign.
Yeah. Well, also, though, when you hear the word fad or trend, mm-hmm. that means it's going to end sometime. It certainly has been going strong for a good month. But how much longer do you think this can continue to capture our fancy?
That's a great question. And I think if you had asked me last week, I probably would have said, well, I don't see it going on too much longer, because it seemed like it had really crested. I think they had reached kind of the day where they, had $8 or $10 million in a single day. And it thought, well, how are they going to sustain that much longer? But here we are a week later, and it seems to still be going strong. I mean, they're still reporting out every day. ALS Association has been great about saying, this is how much we're up to this morning, this is how much we're up to this morning. And it seems like they're still jumping, $8 to $10 million a day. I think, this morning they were up to 70. At some point, I'm sure you'll start to see it trickling off. And you had asked the question about what's next.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a really, really interesting question that organizations in particular are really struggling with, because they see ALS Association, having the benefit of this campaign that they didn't create, that, individual, just regular people created this, and it grew so tremendously from there. So it's really hard to look at an organization, for example, the American Cancer Society or another big organization that, in particular addresses disease or research funding, something like that. The takeaways for them, I think, are really hard, because this is something that I think is really going to be really difficult to replicate, let alone to try to top. And I don't know that organizations necessarily should be trying to top this, because, again, it just came from people. So, maybe the lesson for organizations in all of this is to nurture their relationships with their individual supporters and their individual donors. And, something that I've been telling organizations for a couple of years that we've seen in our research is, not to discount the person who perhaps is a $10 donor, but who is very influential on social media. There's this, figure in fundraising called the lifetime value of your donor, and typically it's monetary. It's how much mm-hmm. is this individual going to be able to give us over the course of their lifetime. And what I think social media does is it makes it much, much harder to calculate what somebody's lifetime value is, if you even want to continue to use that figure, because your value could come in many, many shapes and forms, and it's not necessarily always money. You could have a $10 donor who posts something on social media and who starts a campaign like this, who gets other people involved in their networks, and it spreads from there. And, how can you place a value on that? And the resources and the time and skills and money that's present in somebody's network. And, if somebody's able to activate that network, they can far exceed their original $10 donation. So I think that, for organizations, the way that you think about replicating or topping this is to really rethink the way you value people's contributions. And it's not just about money. It's about, equipping people and inspiring people to go out there and create campaigns like this on your behalf.
Yeah. So though nonprofits and charities have to come up with some sort of catchy challenge, or the supporters of that cause have to come up with some sort of challenge like this in order to raise dollars? Is the old "I'm just going to write a check to my favorite charity" is that over?
No, I don't think that will ever be over. And I think as we talked about, as much as this has done so much good in such a short period of time, it will eventually burn out. And then the question is, what does the organization do with all of that money? How do they report back on the impact? How do they continue to keep these individuals engaged? It's interesting. We've seen some challenges around, and I'm not sure if you've had any in Wisconsin, but some cities around the country and some states around the country have had these one-day online giving competitions where it's, you know, a particular day. A lot of times it's around kind of the Thanksgiving holiday. They have a day right after Thanksgiving where it's, you know, give to your favorite charity day in a particular state. And so for one day, all of the nonprofits in that state, kind of its idea is to raise awareness for them and try to get people to give online. And the challenge that we've always seen with those is that it gives everybody this really nice one-day spike in donations and awareness, but then what do you do with all of that? And what do you do with the, you know, the new donors who have come in who might be a couple degrees removed from your organization? And I'm sure this is a challenge that the ALS Association and the other organizations that have benefited from this particular campaign are going to struggle with, is you have this influx of, you know, a million new donors who don't know a lot about your organization or who you are, what you stand for, and how do you continue to keep them engaged and how do you get them to give again? You know, that's the challenge, I think, for most fundraisers and organizations. It's, you know, getting that first donation, but how do you get somebody to become, you know, a lifetime donor? And I think that's the challenge. You know, when you have a kind of a flashy campaign like this, you know, I think one of the cautions for organizations would be is, you know, do you really know how what you're going to do next if you have this great, you know, influx of new individuals who are giving?
Let me jump back to the phones as we have callers waiting. Victor in West Dallas. Hi, Victor.
Hi, good morning, Joyce. Hey, my concern, I didn't put buckets of water over my head. My main concern is because nobody's telling me exactly how much money is actually going for cost and how much money. I know the loss is 20% of it. And now, like when I contribute to your radio stations, is because I know that 80 cents is to support you and your other beautiful programs you have on the radio.
Well, no, that's not quite right, Victor. I think you're thinking that there's some sort of, fundraising group that's skimming off the top or something like that. And that's not happening here, is it, Julie? These are people who are sending money directly to ALS. And, oh, I see. So maybe you have to pay for some of the administrators of this nonprofit, but the bulk of this money is going to the cause, is it not?
It is, you know, and different organizations have, you know, different percentages that they have for, you know, administrative or overhead, and it varies organization to organization, but definitely that information is all very, you know, transparent online. You know, you can go to their website and see what percentage goes to overhead, what percentage goes to funding research versus the other programs and services that the organization offers. But that raises a great point that especially when people are giving online, there's a level of skepticism about where is my money going? What is this going to fund? And organizations really need to be very clear about what they're doing with the money and where it's going so that people can judge for themselves whether they want to invest money in one organization versus another.
Yeah. Thank you very much, Victor, for the call. It's got me thinking as to whether with our upcoming pledge drive this fall, whether Wisconsin Public Radio should think of some kind of cutesy thing for that pledge drive, but I'll leave that to the fundraising experts. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Julie Dixon, Deputy Director of the Center for Social Impact Communication at Georgetown University, and we are talking about the effect of the Ice Bucket Challenge, this social media phenomenon where people dump ice water over their heads and donate to ALS and then challenge others to do the same. Have you been involved with this at all, or are you tired of seeing these videos on your Facebook feed? What are your thoughts and questions about this trend? Do you think it's worthwhile? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with Julie Dixon, who is the Deputy Director of the Center for Social Impact Communication at Georgetown University. And we are talking about social impact communication, the impact of the Ice Bucket Challenge. Have you done the Ice Bucket Challenge? Do you think that this trend is good for charities or nonprofits? Do you think that this is legitimate activism, or do you consider it more narcissism? What are your thoughts or concerns about the Ice Bucket Challenge? Art in Madison is with us. Hello, Art.
Yeah, my concern is two things. One is, isn't it taking the eye off of other charities? And then the other concern is, a lot of people that are doing it for publicity to get famous. And Jesus said, when you give, you shouldn't give and make a big tooting of your horn. But when you give, you should give secretly. And I feel that a lot of people are just giving just to get their other people to see them do this Ice Bucket Challenge and so that they'll get famous. But
all right, well, we touched on the narcissism a little bit in the first half hour, Julie Dixon. But, I mean, what about that concern? I mean, and I guess, I don't know, it sounds like Art thinks, you know, this is something that should be private, that you donate to a cause and keep it quiet.
Mm-hmm. I would say, I mean, I think that, you know, people have so many different reasons for wanting to give to charity and wanting to, you know, to have that impact through their personal philanthropy. And I think one of the interesting things that we've seen is that social media gives you a channel to influence others to get involved as well. So if you think about the impacts that you can have personally versus kind of the collective impacts that many people can have if you can get others to join you, we've seen that that's actually starting to motivate people. You know, when you think about the traditional reasons why people perhaps talk publicly about their giving, it's, you know, you think about they want to be seen as philanthropic. You know, there maybe there's that narcissism. They want to be seen as knowledgeable about worldly issues. You know, there's lots of different reasons. But we did a survey about a year ago and asked, you know, about the sort of traditional reasons why people talk about their giving or, you know, publicly display it. And it turned out the number one motivator for people to talk about their giving and to publicly share it. It actually wasn't a more narcissistic reason. It wasn't because they wanted to be seen as generous or philanthropic or because they wanted people to think that they were smart and knew what they were talking about. But it actually was because they wanted to influence other people to care about the things that they care about as well. And I think that that's actually a great reason. You know, when you think about using social media or using any channel, you know, just in a day-to-day conversation, if you were to tell somebody, you know, there's this organization that I really care about that's doing really great work for a cause that's very, very important to me, you know, it's because you want other people to care about it as well, and you want them to join you in supporting it and to have more of an impact through your own giving. You know, if you can get other people to join you in giving, then, you know, then you could arrive at $70 million as we have with the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge. But, I mean, and I think, again, people have sort of their own reasons for their personal giving and also their own reasons for talking about their personal giving. Mm-hmm. And you know, as with anything, there's sort of a spectrum. But I think we're seeing more people who are using their influence in a good way, I think, as opposed to, and certainly you see some of the celebrities that I'm sure are just jumping on the Ice Bucket Challenge, you know, as the caller said, you know, because they see something that's in the public eye and they want to grab a piece of that. I'm sure that that is motivating some of the celebrities. But I like to think that for more of them, it's wanting to use their celebrity in a good way to get other people to even to use that platform to raise awareness and to raise money because they can contribute that in addition to their own contributions.
So any thoughts on whether other charities are, you know, ALS certainly is benefiting from the Ice Bucket Challenge, but maybe the other charities are getting the short shrift because there's only so many of donating dollars to go around.
I think that that's an interesting criticism that I've seen pop up from here every once in a while. It's, you know, the idea that by giving to one organization or to one cause that you're taking away from other organizations. And I've even seen some debates about the relative kind of worthiness or merit of different organizations. You know, people saying, well, you know, the number of people who suffer from ALS is much, much smaller than the number of people who suffer from cancer or from heart disease, or some of the larger causes that, you know, people have talked about. But I think at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's not a zero-sum game. It's not an either-or. I had somebody ask me a question a couple of weeks ago if I thought that, you know, by contributing to the Ice Bucket Challenge, you know, now, if you were taking money away from an organization further down the road. And, you know, I was thinking, at the end of the year, you know, typically the very end of the year, December, is the big giving time for organizations. It's year end, you've got holiday appeals, things like that. And I find it hard to believe that somebody, you know, thinking about at the very end of the year, making their gifts for very personal reasons, you know, you think about somebody who perhaps gives to a cancer charity every December in honor of a loved one who has passed away from cancer. I find it hard to believe that they're going to think back and say, well, in July or August, I gave $10 to the ALS Association, so I'm not going to make my typical charitable gift that I always make this time of year in honor of a loved one. I don't think that you're taking away from the traditional things that people do. Again, I think that this campaign is sort of a an anomaly. It's something that it's something fun that people are kind of riding this wave and wanting to be a part of this broader campaign and this broader conversation. But I don't necessarily think that it's going to take away from charitable giving at other times of the year or from other organizations that somebody may regularly give to.
Kevin on Facebook writes, I took the ALS Ice Bucket Challenge and donated to this very worthy cause, which is what a lot of people do. Our challenge took a different approach, though, per the ALS request to repurpose water due to drought conditions in the U.S. So that a little new twist on it. I'm not sure exactly what you do to repurpose the water, but make sure you water some plants with it or something along those lines. Have you heard about that one?
I have. Mm-hmm. I've heard of the criticism that it's, you know, wasting water, that the amount of energy required to create the ice, to freeze the ice. You know, people are coming at it from all different areas of criticism, but I had seen the one that, you know, that in times of drought across so much of the country that it's wasting water. There was an interesting article in the Washington Post here that actually added up what they guessed the amount of water was that was being utilized in all of the bucket dumping. And it was something like it would fill the National Mall here in Washington with, you know, an inch or two of water. And so they were trying to paint the picture about how much water are people actually doing.
Yeah.
And to be honest, I've seen some videos of just among my own friends in my networks where they're not actually using buckets. I've seen people using, you know, little drink size cups.
Hey, now that's slacking off.
No. That is definitely slacking. Yeah,
you know, we're just about out of time. Who would you like to see dunked with ice water?
Oh, that's a great question. Well, I know President Obama opted out and said he was going to go the donation route. Trying to think who else. You know, it's hard to think of somebody who hasn't done it already.
Yeah, right. There have been so many. Well, I want to thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
Julie Dixon, Deputy Director of the Center for Social Impact Communication at Georgetown University. This is the Ideas Network.